In this case, we take them under advisement. Move to the next case, which is United States versus Marshall.
May it please the court.
Wait a second.
My name is Mike Bonneman. I represent Delbert Marshall. In this case, Your Honor, what we are appealing is his sentence. We are arguing that it was an abuse of discretion in that John Carpenter's testimony of what Terry Newman said did not have sufficient indication of reliability to support its probable accuracy. In this case, John Carpenter, an agent, came into court at sentencing, testified to what Terry Newman told him. John Carpenter said Terry Newman is a reliable witness because Terry Newman knows a lot about the defendant's personal life. He knows about his girlfriend. He knows about what kind of car he drives. He knows who his brother is. He knows where his father lives. Therefore, he's a reliable guy. Problem with that is Terry Newman is the defendant's uncle. Of course, he's going to know all this stuff. Now, did Terry Newman tell Mr. Carpenter anything about these 4 kilos of cocaine, 2 kilos of base and powder that he saw the defendant sell? No. He gave some vague years of 2002, 2003, but he didn't say anything about who was involved, who he sold to, what day of the year it was, what month it was, anything. And I believe I asked him, did you ask him any of this stuff? And Agent Carpenter said, no, I didn't ask him any of that stuff. I decided he was a reliable witness. Therefore, everything he told me was reliable. Well, I mean, certainly a family member's going to know what's going on in a guy's life. And sure, he's reliable on those issues. But that doesn't make him, in my opinion, reliable on how much drugs this defendant sold. Especially in this case, the defendant pleads guilty to 3 relatively small sales, 1 powder, 2 base, I believe. Does another relevant conduct that he admits to of another small sales. Adds up that with Terry Newman's hearsay testimony by John Carpenter, ends up with 35 years in prison. I mean, that's quite a leap for hearsay testimony when Terry Newman didn't even come to court and testify. What else did Terry Newman tell Mr. Carpenter? Well, during the supposedly 2 years, he didn't tell him that he was in jail for 6 months of the year and then went off to do a 2-year sentence. He didn't tell him that my client was also in jail during some of this time frame when he was selling all these drugs. Agent Carpenter did admit that Terry Newman had an extensive criminal record. Terry Newman only did this to get out of jail because he was in jail on a retail theft, according to Agent Carpenter. It just seems that this does not have the reliability. At least they should have asked him about how some of the circumstances of these sales to show the reliability of it, and they didn't. The second issue is that the defendant did not receive his acceptance of responsibility. Well, he pled guilty within a couple of months, or right around a couple of months. He agreed to cooperate. He actually met with Agent Carpenter in my presence. He asked, according to Agent Carpenter, he answered all his questions truthfully. The court ruled, well, you don't get acceptance of responsibility because you frivolously contested the drug amounts. Well, I mean, he contested Robert Poole, who said, the defendant sold him 6 kilos of cocaine, and the court didn't believe it. The court found that that would not be held against him. So obviously, not everything he contested was frivolous. He contested what Michael Wilson said about whether he sold him this or sold him that, and the judge found part of Michael Wilson's statement to be correct and part of it not to be correct. So it seems a little unfair to say, well, you're not accepting responsibility, even though you plead guilty, you cooperate, you'll answer their questions, but you don't want to agree to some of the statements that some other guy, your uncle, says you did, therefore you're not accepting responsibility. It doesn't seem fair. The defendant did what he could to cooperate. Mr. Carpenter, after that first meeting, never went back and talked to him again. Thank you, Your Honor. That's really all I have.
Okay. Ms. McInerney?
May it please the court, counsel. I'm Patricia McInerney, and I represent the United States in this case. Let's start with the acceptance of responsibility. You get acceptance of responsibility if you fully take responsibility for your offense conduct, including relevant conduct that the court will find. You do not accept responsibility if you falsely deny that conduct or if you frivolously contest that conduct. In this case, the court found that, based on the record, that the defendant frivolously contested his offense conduct, even to the point where the judge made the remark that based on the record, that his continued denials of the relevant conduct in this case actually insulted everyone's intelligence. What she had before her was the relevant conduct information that she had been given through the three witnesses that appeared at the court, John Carpenter, Robert Poole, Michael Wilson. In all cases, she accepted and believed that, yes, the defendant had distributed drugs to all three of those individuals. Terry Newman, in particular, who was the defendant's uncle, and because of that relationship, would have knowledge of what the defendant was doing, was the one that did the control buys. There were four control buys. He had no trouble getting a hold of the defendant to make those buys. And one of the observations that was made was, without a history between the two of them, you simply can't carry out those transactions. Those four buys also led to a search warrant, which led to the recovery of additional drugs and a .45 weapon, which was a piece of information Mr. Newman had given, very specifically that the defendant's gun of choice or weapon of choice was a .45. And that .45 weapon was found during the search warrant and was also a part of the counts of conviction. What the defendant did here was he denied everything except those counts where he knew he was caught. Well, that doesn't exist just right there out of the blue. That doesn't happen right out of the blue. It happens with a history. Terry Newman provided that history. Robert Poole also corroborated that history because she agreed, the district court judge agreed, there were drug transactions between Robert Poole and the defendant. She simply didn't add the quantity because she was somewhat confused by his summary of what he thought the quantities were. And she, out of an abundance of caution and giving him a very large benefit of the doubt, did not include the quantities, but agreed, yes, that he and the defendant had drug transactions. The same with Mr. Wilson. She didn't include the quantities because she didn't want to double count, because the 2.5 ounces of crack that Mr. Wilson talked about was in the same time frame as Terry Newman's. So therefore, she didn't want to double count, so she didn't include that. But there's no question that she had, from the evidence that was presented to her, more than ample evidence to find that the defendant was not only responsible for the counts of conviction, but that he was also responsible for relevant conduct of the 2 kilograms of crack, which she used to compute his base offense.
Tell me this. I've always thought that the most important element of getting acceptance of responsibility, at least from a district court standpoint, was a willingness to plead guilty and save the government all the aggravation of coming in and trying a case and paneling jurors and doing all that sort of thing. Now, he did that here. He pled guilty.
He pled guilty in the counts of conviction.
In the post-Booker world, we don't talk about departures anymore. But could a district judge acting reasonably give a substantial reduction off an advisory guideline range if a defendant simply has pled guilty? regardless of whether they've admitted some or all of a alleged relevant conduct?
Well, if you're going to rely on the guidelines as being,
I could say the guy
a factor. No. Okay, if you're going to use the guidelines as being something you should consider, and that's what Booker says, then and you're going to look at acceptance is defined in the guidelines.
Right. Well, I'm saying here the judge looks at this and says, under guideline law, I'm not going to give you an acceptance of responsibility as I calculate the guidelines here, because you have frivolously denied some relevant conduct. But nevertheless, now that I know the guideline range, I'm going to give you a substantial reduction because you pled guilty and saved us all a lot of trouble here. Would that be a reasonable sentence then if the judge had gone down 30-40% off the low end of the guideline range?
Well, not if you're going to include the guidelines as being something you consider. Even in this case, if she had given acceptance of responsibility, the two levels that the guidelines give to a court as the ability to reduce the sentence, it still wouldn't have changed his range. The two levels would still give him 360 to life as his range, based on his criminal history, yeah. Which was...
Well, in this case, because of the gun charges, too, that had to be consecutive. But I'm talking just in a hypothetical case where a defendant has denied some relevant conduct, and thus the judge determines you're not going to get a acceptance of responsibility reduction. But now I'll calculate your guideline range without giving you that. But to me, as a district judge, your pleading guilty is very important because I've got a lot of cases on the calendar. This means I don't have to spend 5 days trying this case. The government is relieved of its responsibility to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm going to give you a significant sentence lower than the guideline range here.
Under a 3553 analysis, yes, I think you can. This case, her conclusion was, at the time of that she imposed the sentence, was this is a serious crime, serious criminal history, serious conduct. So that was her conclusion. But as far as your answer is concerned, under a 3553 type of analysis, I think a judge under the guidelines now, under Booker, could reduce a sentence below the recommended guideline sentence based on factors that they enumerate under those provisions.
I mean, you agree that that's an important factor, pleading guilty to a charge, isn't it?
Pleading guilty to a charge is...
And this guy pled guilty to a bundle of charges here.
Well, there were
guns and drugs and everything.
Six. Mm-hmm. Guns and drugs, yes. There were six different counts. But it was fairly limited in scope as to what his true criminal conduct consisted of. And I think that's an important factor for a sentencing court to consider. You don't want to ignore what the true criminal conduct is that someone has, just based on the fact that they plead guilty. That's what acceptance is about, as far as I can tell from the definition. Unless the court has some additional questions, I would urge you to affirm the district court's sentence in this case.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Monaman?
Very briefly, Your Honor, I would like to point out that he actually did admit to one sale that was not charged but was relevant conduct, and it was in the pre-sentence report. Judge Scott asked him, did you do that? And he did say yes. So it's not a matter of just saying I'm pleading guilty and I didn't do anything else. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsels. Case will be taken under advisement.